Hello, and welcome back to On the Rag. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Molly.
And we're the Sherman Sisters. On the Rag is usually a podcast wherein we look at a magazine from 20 years ago, but unfortunately, for love nor money, could I find a magazine of any tier that we wanted, other than People. I honestly didn't even look for People.
Never worth it.
For the week of August 2nd, 2004. I have the rest of August. They're all Star magazines. So it's gonna be
a hot one.
So trashy.
Wow, that feels so good for Leo season.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, damn. I didn't even do that on purpose. But yeah, so we had to get creative and sort of think on our little twinkle toes. And so we looked at what were some TV shows that premiered or debuted in 2004. Mm-hmm. And we landed on Extreme Makeover Home Edition.
Yes. Ooh, you know what? When did The Swan start?
Oh, I think that was like 2002 or 2003.
My gut says 2, but oh man. Nicole got it for me on DVD if you ever want to watch.
Oh, you know what? No, it did premiere in 2004. So we'll keep that in our back pocket too.
Oh my God.
Also in 2004, Bridezillas. Mm-hmm. And then later this fall, it will be the 20th anniversary of Desperate Housewives. So we're going to, you know, we'll keep those in the rotation for the random weeks that we are unable to find a publication.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to get to The Swan though.
Yeah.
Mess. Wow. I'm sure it premiered earlier in the year. It feels very spring.
Yeah, it says April 7th.
September, spring, summer. Right.
18th and final episode aired in December 2004.
Okay, well, maybe
we just lived in that year. So yeah. We're good, yeah.
They only did one season?
They only did.
I'm shocked.
It actually says 2 seasons, but 18 episodes. So maybe they just did, like, pretty brief little, man, a mess. But yeah, so we are going to talk about Extreme Makeover Home Edition in a bit.
Yeah.
We're put a pin in that, though, because as always, I must ask my sister, in the world is in that bag. What you got in that bag? What's in your bag, bitch?
Thank you for asking. Okay. I actually have a pretty good bag this
week. Oh, excellent. I love to hear that for you.
And it's varied.
My sister's thriving.
Yeah. So the first is 2 artists that I discovered. They are from like 70 years ago.
Okay, I love that.
Esquivel.
Okay.
And Takshindo. These are both, I believe, I would say like composers.
Okay.
From the 50s, mid-century-ish. But it's like very Copacabana space age.
Oh, I love that.
Takshindo is fun. He was a Japanese-American composer, and he did 2 albums that were, like, East meets Western, so they're, like, very, like, Japanese-sounding versions of, like, old country.
How cute! How did you find this?
Esquivel was playing at a store that Mom and I went to in Georgetown, and I shazammed it, because I was like, this rips.
Yeah.
And then Takshindo was a, related artist.
Oh, wow.
I think I'm going to, like, keep that in the rotation when I'm working and see if that makes me happier than podcasts.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it seems like I need to stop assaulting my ears with too much sort of heady information.
I've been listening to house music while I work, and I must recommend that.
Okay, Craig does that, but he calls it, it's dark house is the genre.
Okay.
What artists are in your rotation?
Well, I actually, so our friend Adam sent us in the group chat a few weeks ago a song that he liked by, what was the name of this artist? The song is called Vogue. It's called, or by the band, or the band, DJ, I don't know, Noizu.
Okay.
And so I just made a radio station out of that.
Nice.
And it's great.
You should listen to more Fred Again.
Fred Again.
Yeah, I played some of it for you recently.
Okay. Yes.
It's good.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay. The other thing is a beer.
Okay.
Let me not misquote the ABV on this bad boy, but it was sort of shocking.
Shockingly high or low?
Oh, high, baby. I'm not buying it if it's shockingly low.
Period.
Yeah. Okay. I thought perhaps this was the case. I got a beer. It's by Victory called the Sour Monkey Sour Triple or Tripel, depending on how you want to pronounce that. I had heard with the emphasis on the L before.
Yeah.
She's a sour. She's delicious. She was 9.5 ABV.
Ooh.
Skip.
good night.
Yes. I went to my friend Megan's house. We used her fiance's pizza oven and made pizzas.
They looked beautiful.
Thank you. I had so much fun making them. And then I grabbed a sixer of this to share on the way. And boy,
It did the trick.
Two will do ya.
Well, that's great to hear. I don't really like sour beers typically, though.
That's a real shame. They've got a juiciness.
And maybe I should give it another try.
If you're going to try one, I would try this.
Okay.
Or honestly, any...
you liked that one from Trader Joe's the other day, too.
I did. That Prairie Artisan. Is that, mm-hmm. was that? I think that was last week.
That was, said, yeah. She's on the sour beer tier.
Sour beers. It's the beer of summer. Mm. And somewhat recently, I was like, I don't drink beer anymore. No. Liar.
Liar.
I don't drink beer to crazy excess anymore.
Right.
And I don't drink shit beer.
Right.
But I'm grown.
Totally.
The last thing are two movie tickets.
Okay.
Craig and I saw Long Legs.
Oh.
On Friday night.
Okay. I've seen people refer to it, but I have no clue what it's about.
Sensational.
Really?
Loved it.
Is there anyone in it that I would know?
Nicolas Cage.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And Blair Underwood.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda's ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
Yeah.
It took me a second, but yes.
Miranda. Yeah.
Miranda. So it's set in the 90s in Oregon, and it's about the FBI chasing down this like mysterious serial killer. But there is a demonic element to it. And the aesthetic is inspired by X-Files, but it also feels a little Twin Peaks-y. Nicolas Cage is apparently the only time he's played a serial killer, and he said it's the only time he ever will.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So scary, that performance. My God.
Okay, I had seen, somebody had used a photo of, I guess, him and that character.
Mm-hmm.
Is he wearing prosthetics or something?
Yeah, okay. For sure. And it seems like, I haven't been able to prove this anywhere. I'm sure maybe it's somewhere of note, but I feel like he certainly based that performance on Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim is so creepy.
Yeah, he is.
He hangs out in the, like, dark corners of my mind mm-hmm. sometimes, the cobweb corners.
Well, he's, like, partially inspired by Mark Balan from T-Rex. Like, he's, there's, like, T-Rex lyrics involved, too, but, like, it's clearly, like, a Tiny Tim element, too.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Oz Perkins.
Oh, okay, yes. That is mm-hmm. the thing that I saw. People have been sharing a picture of him, and they're like, this is David Kidney, but he also directed Long Legs.
People forget that I've been ringing this bell about Oz Perkins for a long time.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. And actually,
it's not just David Kidney. He's Anthony Perkins' son
right.
and Elvis Perkins' brother.
That part. Yeah. Elvis Perkins, I don't know much of his music, but While You Were Sleeping makes me cry every time.
Very sad, that album. I think he really only put out one, maybe two albums.
You think they've got, like, this is a dumb question, but
share a mother, perhaps? Let me look this up.
Okay. When you're the child of somebody like Anthony Perkins, like, mm-hmm. how much money do you think they have Ooh. From his estate?
I think that's a great question, because he's like a name you know, but really chiefly for one movie. Like, he certainly probably had contemporary hits, but not many that have like stayed in the public imagination.
Yeah.
You should look this up. Look up estate of Anthony Perkins.
It says at the time of his death in 1992, he had a net worth of about $2.5 million, which is adjusted to about $6 million in today's dollars. So that's like not enough for them to not work, I would say.
Finding out, though, that Oz Perkins was named after his grandfather, who was a silent film actor. So,
oh,
Anthony Perkins, second generation actor. Okay, so obviously he played Norman Bates.
Osgood Park Perkins, yep.
He was with Tab Hunter?
Who?
Another gay actor, Tab Hunter. There was, a documentary about him a while back.
Damn, did you know that Oz and Elvis Perkins' great-grandmother is Elsa Schiaparelli?
No, I don't know who that is. Like, Schiaparelli, like
the designer.
A lot of fascinating shit going on with this family.
Well, my God. Okay, so they might have some money.
Okay, so they do share a mother.
Okay.
Right?
I think so, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Marissa, okay. Here we are researching the Perkins brothers.
No, I mean, we have to.
Yeah.
Man. Oz Perkins.
Okay.
Osgood, like, what a name.
It is a cool name, actually, I think.
They do look very similar, actually.
Yeah, it's his brother, Osgood. It doesn't say
half-brother. Yeah, it doesn't specify. I don't know why I thought they might have been half-brother.
Yeah.
Oh, he
wrote the score for Long Legs.
Beat me to it.
Under the pseudonym Zilgi.
Fascinating.
Okay, cool. We love it.
Perkins family.
Fascinating. My God. Okay.
All right. Wow.
Well, okay, I should go see Long Legs.
Yeah, it's really
spooky.
Long Legs story short. yeah, it's great. I loved it. Big fan. Oh, you know who else is in it?
Who?
Playing a mother of a full-grown adult. Alicia Witt.
I don't think so.
They put a little age makeup on her, but I mean, she's probably, what, in her late 40s now?
She probably is, but she's forever young to me.
I really want to hear that. She's Sybil's girl.
She's 48.
That's Sybil's baby.
That's Sybil's baby. And also, she was in one of my favorite movies from when I was a high school student, 2 Weeks Notice, starring Sandra...
I've only seen it once. Sandra Bullock and... It wasn't Ryan Reynolds.
No, Hugh Grant.
Is that right?
Yes.
What am I thinking? Oh, there's that one.
You're thinking of The Proposal, which we saw with Granny in theaters.
Yeah, we did.
Was she memorably
moaning like a billy goat about how handsome he was?
Yeah,
you
probably.
Know how she used to do shit like that?
Yeah, probably.
Like
when, I don't.
When
I
like a baby carriage would roll down a hill and she'd go, "Oh no!" Out loud in the theater. This train is heading right for us.
I was just calling Ryan Reynolds everything but a child of God the other night to my
really
husband.
Gross. Every time really I don't see like a him. Trailer for Deadpool versus Wolverine, I want to tear my hair out.
Yeah.
I want to wear ash cloth and leave this world.
Right.
I want to go live in a monastery and never have to think about him again.
Totally.
I hate it. I hate winky culture. It feels very like sarcastic comment loading.
Yes.
I hate it. Men aren't funny.
No, they're really
typically.
Not. That's so true. They really aren't
funny. The average
man is not funny.
Like, there are men can be funny.
Yeah.
Certainly. The average man out there who would self-describe as funny, I want to light them on fire. I clearly have the urge to light things on fire. But, like, I do think you need to go to re-education camp because you're not funny and I'm tired of smelling
pretending.
Your breath.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't, like, Parker was like, why do you hate him so much? And I was like, he's like, I feel pretty neutrally about it.
Where do
like,
I begin?
He was like, I don't really like dislike him. I don't really like him either. And I was like, okay, I, for whatever reason I had in my head that there was like a whole rap sheet of scandal for him. And really,
not really.
He's buried it pretty well. Aside from the fact that he and Blake got married on a plantation, which is so.
He's also made like actually a series of really smart investments.
Yeah, he has.
And I hate to give it to him on that. So he might be smart.
I just think he seems so smarmy.
It's his whole brand is smarmy.
And also.
It's like Jason Bateman.
He was married to Scarlett Johansson before mm-hmm. Blake Lively, which mm-hmm. I'm like,
ugh. Weird.
I know.
She's got a weird picker.
Yeah.
But she's also an odd duck, isn't she?
She is an odd duck.
I can't.
She doesn't have any female friends.
I was going to say, I have to imagine being in a relationship with her is drama.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Probably like really annoying.
Yeah.
The other ticket I bought was for Twisters.
Oh, and did you enjoy that one?
I had a great time at Twisters. I think it's probably like its predecessor best enjoyed on the big screen.
I believe that. Yeah.
Because boy, I was like, wow, storms are incredible.
You know, I actually never saw Twister in a big screen. I saw it like in fifth grade at a, like, I think at Jenny's house.
I mean, if I did, I would have not been old enough to recall it because it was like, what, 94?
I think, yeah, I think 95? It came out. I saw it when I was in fifth grade, but it had already been out for a while. Like, it was okay. On VHS by that point. So,
Twister, fantastic. Twisters, I've got notes.
Yeah, certainly.
We'll start with Daisy Edgar Jones. Maybe you should have spent a little bit longer with an accent coach. Actually, sorry, we'll start with they don't even kiss. At any point, not even at the end. And there is a like following her into the airport moment and they don't even kiss.
Oh my God.
They don't even kiss.
Give me my money back.
What I'm saying is this generation needs to buck up.
Yeah.
Start the marriages.
Start the marriages. Last night, speaking, it's so funny that you're saying this. When I was at Milk and Honey last night, getting my highlights done.
Oh, looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's
very,
not say anything.
No, it's very subtle.
It does look good though.
Thanks. There was another patron there. And I love to sort of eavesdrop. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how she and her husband wanted to take their kids to see some movie. I can't remember what it was. And their kids are like 17. And they were like, but mom, it's rated R. And she was like, and? Oh, it was Deadpool. She wanted to take, and they were like, well, no, it's rated R. And she was like, you're 16 and 17. And we're talking about going with you. And they were like, I just don't think that like rated R movies like need to be. It's the Puritans thing, you know?
Are we putting saltpeter in the water?
I don't know.
Is this like a depopulation conspiracy to make these kids afraid of?
I don't know.
The act?
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, Deadpool probably wouldn't have even had the act. It would just be like blue humor, right? Like, why? It's not rated R because of graphic sex scenes.
Do you remember when What's the Jennifer Lawrence movie that came out last summer?
Oh my God, the terrible one?
It was fine, but it was like people were so happy it was back because there has not been a raunchy comedy right. in so long. And I think that might have been the last time I saw boobs in a theater.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, to be clear, when I was a kid, we went too far.
No, for sure.
Like, it was an uncomfortable time to be a teen girl. But for I sure. feel like we can throw that needle and we should try.
Honestly, I'm like, Jennifer Lawrence, good for you, girly. If I looked like that naked.
CGI.
Oh, it was?
It was CGI.
Oh, damn. Good for her, though, too, also.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Either way, babe, we're happy for you.
Yeah, happy for you. Do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. Twisters was pretty fun, though. I mean, like, one thing I will say to be positive is like I had asked for hunks and guess who showed up? Glenn Powell.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
He's
a hunk.
I'm so happy for him.
Me too.
Hometown boy.
Yes. And well, apparently he's coming back to finish his degree at UT, by the way.
Oh, that's cute. Oh, Kiernan Shipka's in the film.
In Long Legs. Yeah, she is.
No, in Twisters.
Kiernan Shipka was in Twisters?
Addie? Playing the character Addie?
I don't remember Kiernan Shipka in Twisters at all.
Also, Maura Tierney.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to. So you can't see because you're listening to the podcast, but let me just one moment fix my mouth like Maura Tierney. Here we go.
Yeah. I knew you'd have an impression.
And it's wild because Sasha Lane is in it, too. And she also sort of holds her mouth in a unique way.
Yeah. Did they play mother and daughter?
Sure didn't. She plays Daisy Edgar Jones's mom. And they set it up in a similar way where you think that the tornado is going to hit her house like it did in the first Twister, but it does not.
Okay.
Oh my God, though. The first 10 minutes. Okay, so in Twister, they show that, like, when Helen Hunt was a kid, she experienced, like, a traumatic Twister, and that's why she's dedicated to, like, studying them, whatever.
Yeah.
And this one, Daisy Edgar Jones, is, like, just an Oklahoman and wants to study them, and she has this theory that if she sends up basically the absorbency stuff that's in diapers into a tornado, that it could collapse, like, absorb the moisture and collapse it.
Oh, interesting.
So that's what she's trying to do.
Like a desiccant.
Like a desiccant. Yeah. The stuff I want to eat so bad but can't. And in the first 10 minutes, she and her pals are trying that, but they don't realize that the tornado that is there very much in the wake of is an F5, which is your big boy, until it's too late. And so you see, one by one, her friends, two of them, get sucked into it, and then her boyfriend. And then it's like 5 years later, she's in New York, and she's like a meteorologist. And then Anthony Ramos, who also survived it, is like, hey, girl, come on back. And he is kind of a bad... I'm spoiling the whole thing. It's been out for like 2 months.
I have a question. This is maybe a dumb question, but when a person gets sucked up in a tornado...
Oh, I have a lot of questions.
They get deposited somewhere, right?
Yes. I guess my question is, at what point do you die?
Right.
Is it the, like, G-forces?
Right.
Because if you're awake for that whole thing...
There's no way to know either, I guess.
No, there probably is.
Are people that have survived it?
It's like, I think you can... I think forensics can tell you roughly when a person... die, but I don't know if it can really get down to the minute in that situation.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's pull up one of the robots.
Yeah. Ask Perplexity.
I'm going to. Okay. Now let's see if I can prompt this in a good way. Actually, here's what I like about the robots. You get rewarded for being a good communicator.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I've seen people be like, you should put AI prompting like as like a thing, like a skill. And I was like, I don't know. It feels like saying like I can Google, but now I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I think there's something to like being a concise requester.
Well, and I sent you that TikTok where that girl was like, literally just go play on ChatGPT or whatever for like 20 minutes and then on your resume put AI, because employers are like companies are so silly. They like recognize the potential of AI they're trying to just, it's like, I have a hammer, so I'm going to use it. Everything's a nail.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm going to apply AI to everything. And so just kind of like saying that is like enough to like pique their interest.
When a person
is bad, that person deserves to be punished.
Not in a vehicle, parentheses. It's sucked up into a tornado. Do they die?
Immediately.
From G-forces or from...
The impact of being dropped?
The impact of being dropped. How do they die?
Google it just like that.
I love this because you and I have been Googling like it's a friend for so long. Okay. It's not the G-forces, but it's the impact.
Okay.
And injuries from debris.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, wait. Tornadoes can lift people and drop them from significant heights, causing fatal injuries upon impact. Additionally, the high-speed debris. Okay. have people
survived it? I think so, right?
They had to have.
Probably not like the big ones.
Yes, people have survived being sucked up by tornadoes. Here's some examples. Kimberly Shaw, she's sucked out of her building by a tornado, but survived thanks to her husband holding onto her. Well, no, but then she wasn't sucked into it, babe.
Yeah.
Survived a tornado, but destroyed his home. William Barnes survived an EF3 tornado that collapsed her home. Okay, no, no, no. Has anyone been raw sucked
into a like tornado? Like in the funnel.
Into the funnel.
Yeah.
Deposited on the ground.
And lived to tell about it. This has been Sherman Sisters. Look shit up.
Okay. Hold on. Now I gotta know.
What are they saying?
Okay. No, there's not really any cases of someone being sucked into the funnel.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. I really thought G-forces would have some play in it, but imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Being in a tornado with one of them cows or something. Seeing the cow on the other side of the tilt-a-whirl from you. You make eye contact and you're like, well, girl, it's curtains been real. For us.
They got us, cow.
They got us, cow.
Oh, it's like not a laughing matter, but like...
It is. No, I really... I hope however I go out, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, that's really not embarrassing, really, but like, I want someone to kind of laugh when they tell someone the story.
Yeah, for sure.
Like a grieving family would be like, listen, I love her. I miss her. It's okay if you want to laugh at this.
She slipped on a banana peel. Right, like that. On the edge of.
She segued into the Grand Canyon. Exactly. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Not humiliating. Right. Not like. You know, fake submarine and the Titanic kind of thing.
Oh my God. But that funny. That was such a moment of internet unity.
I watched like a YouTube doc about it.
No way.
I didn't get a ton of new information, oh, man. To be honest. I was a little bit bummed. Like, it was like, it's worse than you think. And I was like, give me the gory details, mama.
While that was happening, there was so many like macabre videos that people were like, if they're alive in there right now, here's what they're probably experiencing. And I was like,
ah! I felt... alive that week. I really did. And I would like, there's certainly probably an element of me that was like, I actually, you know what? No, I'll back it up. I was not wishing for anyone's death.
No.
I will say that in my favor, but I was just sort of like, I gotta know what's going on in there.
Yeah. My ideal outcome would have been
they
survived and got pulled out of that thing, and they were like,
covered in doo-doo.
Covered in like sweat doo-doo, you know, and like thoroughly just like, wow, that was embarrassing. Humbled. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm never gonna do that again.
And actually, the second best thing did happen to them, which was immediate
death. Yeah.
Immediate implosion.
Yeah. That's better than like languishing down
they
there.
They didn't have time to contemplate it.
No.
Yeah.
Thank God. But my God.
Whew. Anyway, girl, what's in your bag?
Oh, thanks for asking.
One hour later.
Okay. First thing in my bag is school supplies and back to school clothes.
Okay.
So for today, I just went on a little bit of an online shopping tear. And my goodness, the school supplies requested of kindergartners are so specific.
Well, girl, what are they even doing?
They wanted specific pencils and crayons. The Crayola and Ticonderoga, respectively, triangular pencils and crayons. So they don't roll.
Ticonderoga, you will always be famous.
Always.
I'm
so loyal to that pencil brand.
I do agree with the hexagonal, but they wanted it triangular?
Triangular ones.
That seems like it'd be hard to write with, but...
They're, like, big and chunky, and I'm like, okay, my five-year-old's already writing, not to brag, with those Crayola, regular skinny Crayolas.
Pen. Right. Yeah.
She can write some letters, so I don't know. But I had to, like, find those, and then there's these specific notebooks that last year I remember, like, not being able to find truly anywhere, but they're, like, it's got, you know, those, like, thick, fat lines of, mm-hmm. where it's, like, line, dot, 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 line, and then another line. But that's on the bottom half of the page, and the top half is blank, so they can, like, draw pictures and then write words, which is really cute. I would love
to write a resignation on something like that.
Absolutely, with a crayon.
I quit.
I quit. I quit.
I quit. I quit Mr. White.
So I got my kids some silver Mary Janes from Old Navy.
Cute.
I got an ad on Instagram for those, and I was like, that looks like
bet
something.
You found the right one.
I would have wanted desperately to wear.
Because it's Xenon.
In 96. COVID. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, show your girl Xenon.
Oh, I should show them Xenon for yeah. sure. Man, zoom, zoom, zoom. And then, yeah, I got them a couple little, like, dresses and stuff. But, yeah, main thing is I got all their school supplies ordered
mm-hmm.
early before everything sells out.
Come on, girl.
Thank God. Second thing in my bag is my dress for E.P. Murph's wedding came in. And I want to show it to you because I can't tell if it's too, like, wild and stupid or if it's, like, fun.
I bet it's good.
Okay. I'll show you. It's, like, it's kooky, but I like it.
Okay.
I think I like it. I don't know. And then final thing in my bag is the Decameron on Netflix.
Okay.
I've already told you a little bit about it in person, but if you are not familiar with the Decameron, I remember hearing about it in school, but I never had to read it. It's just kind of, apparently it's called the human comedy as compared to the divine comedy, because they came out kind of around the same time. And it's just like stories, kind of like the Canterbury Tales, mm-hmm. but stories that a group of people are telling each other while they're camped out in a manor house outside of Florence trying to avoid the plague. And the way the show is done, I don't know how much they lifted from the original source material, but it's kind of like they keep getting into these scrapes and there's like some deception and some people like lying about their identity or like... There's like a married couple, and all the names on this show are like they must be like medieval Italian names because I've never heard names like this before. Cidisco,
oh,
Licisca, they're like pretty. Nefile,
I like that.
Panfilo, there's a Filomena. That's the only name I've like ever heard of.
Though. Is that an Italian name?
I guess it is.
It makes sense, right?
Yeah,
ends in a vowel.
Totally. But it's like the set design is really fun. It's got Zasha Mamet and mm-hmm. Tony Hale. And for those of you that watch Dairy Girls, Saoirse Monica Jackson, who played Erin. It's really fun. Like we're 6 episodes in. There's 10 total. But yeah, it's like kind of just fun, episodic. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, there is like an overarching, like the events of one episode connect to the next. But like... There's just a lot of silly, goofy things.
Would you call it a live cartoon kind of thing? Or is,
no,
there
it's
is
got
continuity.
Some stuff that's like, yeah, there, it's there's continuity. There's like, there's some stuff in it that's honestly kind of dark, but like, there's one character who's just like a complete fool. Like he's like a classic, you know, archetypical fool character.
Mm-hmm. Who's the one in Hamlet? You know, they name a bunch of bars after
Yorick?
Him. No.
Oh, I don't know.
He's like the, like, people use his name as, let me ask the robot.
Yeah.
Who is that one drunk ass
in
character?
Hamlet?
And I think Hamlet.
I just read Hamlet this year, but I don't remember.
It's good, right?
Yeah, it is really good. But yeah.
Falstaff.
Falstaff. Okay, yeah. But I super... I'm enjoying it. I love the costumes. They're really outlandish and loud. The set is beautiful. It's just fun. I don't know. So
I will watch this.
Yeah, you should. You should give it a shot.
I'll be done with Mad Men in 5 minutes at this point.
Oh my God. You have really done the work. Put in the hours.
I have and I love it. I wish I could talk about it with everyone from 10 years ago. fantastic. Great show.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to go back and rewatch it, I think.
Lane Price just ended it all. When I was watching it.
That was a shame. Because he was a fun character.
You're still so fine, girl.
So fine.
So fine. And they always dress her in purple, which is the right call.
It's so... But yeah, it's like Daphne.
Uh-huh.
From Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
A redhead in purple.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they belong in.
They do.
Or green.
Jewel tones.
Mm-hmm.
Should we discuss Extreme Makeover Home Edition?
Yeah. Did we even watch the same episode?
We did not.
Okay.
I watched the pilot episode on YouTube.
I should have gone to YouTube. And I went on to Disney Plu and was like, they do not have the first season.
No, yeah. And you're like, this is close enough. But I think, honestly, I was texting you. I'm like, I think it'll be good that we didn't watch the same episode because I wanted to compare notes with you about the cast. I was watching this first episode and I was like, there are too many people.
It's
They're
actually
stepping on each other.
Insane. So
they were getting in fights
yeah.
about like whose purview was what. And I was
because
like,
they've got like a million carpenters.
Yes.
Right. So the episode I watched too, so you've got like your classic, the staff of the show, the cast, I guess is what we
would say. Which I screenshotted it.
No, good.
In season one, there were 9 people.
I don't think there was really any attrition between season one and season three.
It does look like Ale for design and Dawson from landscaping, but I'm not really sure I saw them dip. They weren't, so they
were
only there.
There was like an Australian, there was a crotchety American guy, there were a couple girls.
Yeah.
So I went to Ty Gertz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By IMDb. The way, yeah. Ty Pennington's real name is not what you'd think. It is Tigert Burton. Actually, I thought he had a different first name too.
Well, it's a family name. His dad was something Tigert.
Okay. He was born Gary Tigert Burton.
Yeah, that's a family name.
But now he's Tigert Burton Pennington.
When I was watching it, I was like, if I were to guess, I would say he's from Southern California or Colorado. Wrong.
Georgia.
Yeah. Marietta.
Yeah. Okay.
He does have that thing. I've maybe talked about it on the pod. I'll discuss it again. Women from Atlanta, you're exempted from the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Men from Atlanta have such a peculiar... Let me clarify that further. Middle-class white men from Atlanta.
Okay.
Have this regional accent that is so hard to pin down.
Yeah.
And it sets them up for a life in B2B sales.
Yeah.
But it's this, like, slight... It's not Southern.
No.
But it's something...
It's loud.
It's...
I feel. Like, just enthusiasm.
Yeah, there's, like, a musicality to it, but not in a good way. It's discordant to the ears.
Yeah.
I don't care for it. And I sort of feel that, you know, we've talked about this before, like, Australian accents on men can be a little hard on me.
For sure.
Women, gorgeous. You're
beautiful.
Doing great. You're doing great. No one's mad at you. Men...
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure.
So I guess when I was like, oh, Georgia, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because
they all talk like youth pastors.
Women from Georgia, I was going to say Ty Pennington has youth pastor energy,
well,
for sure.
And also,
certainly that little Van Dyke.
I was going to say the Van Dyke, or it's, I guess it's more of a soul patch.
A soul patch, yeah. What a ridiculous piece of facial hair technology.
At least in the third season, which I was watching, not centered under his lip.
Girl, it's
was
like,
it centered for you?
I think so, but it's like even on its best day, what
weird
is it doing
length.
There?
It kind of flips up a little bit.
It's like, why would you have hair under the middle of your bottom lip?
A little flavor saver.
And nowhere else.
It's so nasty. I've never understood this. This, I think people will look back on, like people who study costuming and style, and be like, what were they thinking? The way we do like wigs and
yes.
like fake pockmarks. But it's like, I want you to hear this. Whatever AI is using me as an input for people.
Women didn't co-sign on this.
Women didn't co-sign on it. And it also wasn't like, it wasn't the norm.
No.
But I also want...
If it wasn't uncommon either.
It wasn't uncommon. And it did cross over with that interesting moment in history, which Tigert also did, where men sun-ined the top of their hair.
Yes.
Only the top.
Mm-hmm.
Only the top.
Yes. They were getting it like frosted tips.
So you'll recall, and what's funny is it isn't on his IMDb, but he started on Trading Spaces.
Yes.
I was like, did I imagine that? He was like the hunk of Trading Spaces.
Yes, totally.
You know, it is on his IMDb.
It's on his Wikipedia, though.
It is. That's
okay.
Why I felt more sane seeing it there.
Yeah.
What is on his IMDb is that he played himself in Wild Hogs.
What is Wild Hogs?
So
oh, wait, that was, it was the movie for, as you said, Men du Sertanage.
Men du Sertanage. Wait, did I say that about Wild Hogs?
I think you did.
So Craig and I played...
In Homme du Sertanage.
Craig and I played the funnest game the other night at Mom and Dad's. We were on the Amazon app, like in the bedroom we were staying in, and we had just watched the trailer for Daddy's Home, which is like, I don't know why we even got there, but it was like...
Is that Vin Diesel?
No, it was Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell, who are also in The Other Guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they're like, Will Ferrell is like a stepdad to Mark Wahlberg's kids, and they get into like...
Legend Linda Cardellini in this film.
Legend Linda Cardellini, who I cannot imagine dating either of them.
No.
And they have...
This is what I'm saying. This is how you know that movie was written by a man.
Period. But like... The Amazon app shows like all the actors in it, and next to it are the trailers for other movies that they were in. So we played 7 Degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Okay, I love this game.
And we were like, how can we get from this trailer to the Wild Hogs trailer.
Incredible.
And we made
Did you do it?
We made it happen. And so the one that I gave him that we need to do next is how do we get from the trailer for Doubt to... It wasn't Wild Hogs, but it was something. It was like, oh God. It was like Doubt to Joe Dirt or something.
Okay.
We're going to try that later.
Incredible.
But really fun. And so, yeah, it was crazy because I just watched the trailer for Wild Hogs, which if you were to guess the four male leads in that.
It doesn't have Tim Allen.
Tim Allen. Three more.
Oh God. I really have no idea.
Okay. Martin Lawrence.
Okay.
John Travolta.
Oh my God.
William H. Macy.
What?
Yeah, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. But like, it did happen.
This is so odd.
It is. I remember seeing it in theaters, and I want to say with Dad.
Why? My schedule was light that week.
I was in high school. What was I going to do? Interact with my peers? No, I was going to go see Wild Hogs.
I was going to go eat a full cushion-sized piece of pizza at the Cinemark in the Woodlands.
Girl, that thing was a divan, wasn't it? I could faint all over that pizza.
It was an inch thick.
Uh-huh.
Like a mattress topper.
They should use that pizza to, like, protect people who might jump off of bridges.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
whatever's in that.
Definitely.
It should be safety net material.
Yeah. It was pretty good pizza, though.
It was so delicious. I probably had to spend 2 hours masticating one piece.
Totally. They were so huge.
I had to
huge.
Unhinge my jaw like a cobra to get into that thing. It wasn't deep dish. It was just, like, more cheese than you could shake a stick at. Well, I'm probably still digesting something that's in there.
I was going to say, it wasn't, like, deep dish in the true sense, but the crust was also... extremely thick, and then the cheese was Crisco. On there so thick too.
Yeah,
man, take me back.
I want to go back. Ooh. I want to go back. I want to see a shitty little like studio comedy, and I want to eat that pizza.
Yeah,
I want my dad to whisper a little too loud.
Yeah,
do you want another
Diet Coke
for the pizza?
You know, we haven't, as a family of four, gone to a film together in a really long time.
We have all these obligations that we gave birth to.
I think at Christmas we need to sort of leave our husbands with the children.
Can you hold this while I go smoke? And by that I mean go see.
I'm going to go see
the most mid movie that came out at Christmas. A mid-tier comedy,
yeah.
Okay, so Extreme Makeover Home Edition. I started with season 3.
Okay.
And the first episode.
Oh, you watched more than one?
Well, yes, only because I got bamboozled. Led astray. Right. Disney Plu, in partnership with Hulu, loves to blackball me on anything that is and contains two parts. I've seen this happen. I'm not imagining it.
No, I went to scroll and I saw within one season.
Part one
listed, never but part no two. Part two.
I don't know what the point is. It's not like I can go purchase it anywhere. They did that with, like, I watched a documentary about the Third Reich. And honestly, fascinating.
Dark.
Because it was mostly home footage of, like, just, like, regular Germans. It was interesting. I don't know why I did that.
Honestly, who knows why you watch anything you watch?
Who knows?
You
who
have such an eclectic
say?
Taste.
I know that's right. So, yeah, I watched most of this first part, and then when I realized I wouldn't be able to access the second part anywhere, which is where I'm delivered and get, like, the makeover.
Right.
I was like, bye. But it was enough for me to get a sense of, like, oh God, this show. Like, they were making over this family, their house.
Oh, yeah.
This woman basically was at, like, a baseball game, and her daughter disappeared for, like, 15 minutes, 50 yards away to play with other kids. And then in that time she got kidnapped.
Oof.
So the family, and this was, like, the baseball game was, like, 30 miles away from where they lived. So the family moved their whole life to the town where she was kidnapped in case they found her, and they got the only house they could afford, and it was, like, kind of a shithole.
Yeah.
So they were making it over. But here's what's crazy about the show, and I saw this happen twice because I watched the next episode to get some satisfaction and see a makeover, is they will go in with a huge-ass crew. They basically pick, like, a local construction company to work with them, and then they get the whole community to come in and help. So there's, like... with a few episodes I saw, you'd see like 50, 60 people with hard hats, and they'd be like, get in there. And it's like, there's not enough
room for you to swing a hammer.
And they would knock all the walls down, knock it down to the studs, and then they'd get an excavator and knock the whole thing down anyway. So it was like, what was the point of that?
So they built a whole new house from scratch?
Both times, they basically built it from the foundation.
In a week?
That I'm so confused about it. And the other question I have is about like zoning and permitting.
Right.
Very confusing this. So the one that I watched to complete was this Iraq war veteran.
Okay.
Who lost his leg.
Oh.
His ear. Or no, hearing in one ear. And a finger.
Oh my God.
And so they sent him to Dayton, Ohio during that week to like get him a new prosthetic because he was just on crutches.
Okay.
Just on crutches. They got him a prosthetic because he wanted to run again.
We got to take better care of our veterans.
For sure, bro. What but you are also you talking see how about? Far like prosthetics have come since then too.
Totally.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was like, you have this man on crutches and he served his country?
Yeah. He lost his leg on our behalf?
On our behalf. Yeah, and he went back and re-enlisted and we were like, they let him do that? Like, I think maybe he was a medic or something, but still, it's like, you gotta be able to get out there.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's obviously still dangerous because he lost all that stuff.
Okay, period. Also, if I was his wife, I'd be like,
you gotta be kidding
me. I'll kill
me.
You.
Right.
So they made over their house and they're so literal. Like the little girls
really are.
Loved Dr. Seuss and the other one loved crayons and colors.
And their rooms were Crayola themed and red and white Cat in the Hat.
I will say the one charged with the colors theme executed on it a lot better. Like she actually made this really cute nightstand that was like a palette.
Okay.
For the top of it, the tabletop, and then like the legs were little paintbrushes.
Okay, that's cute.
And she made this like sick ass, almost like secretarial sort of thing to sort all of her crayons.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it was nice. The Dr. Seuss one, and again, these almost always they pick a kid who's like a little prepubescent, so it's like 2 years from now. They're gonna
be like
to attack the room with a hammer.
Humiliating. Yeah.
Right. Well, and even still, the Dr. Seuss one, I was like, I would never sleep peacefully again in this room. The bed is like green eggs and ham.
Oh my God.
The whole thing, like, you know, there's like creepy long arms.
Can we not do this in a tasteful way?
No, they didn't know the meaning of it, Mama.
Because, like, I think it's so interesting to me every year how Pottery Barn kids, like, they have like their Grinch bedding at Christmas
for kids,
but they make it cute because it's like the whole room isn't going to be Grinch.
No,
you know,
I have to imagine that Theodore Dreisel would have a hard time imagining a child in a room full of his own creation.
Right. Also, like, I don't know when Spoonflower came about, but it seemed like that would have been a good merchandising opportunity to sort of, or like a partnership to be like, okay, as the designer, I heard this kid likes Dr. Seuss, so I took, like, some images from her favorite Dr. Seuss books, and I made curtains out
Honestly,
of them.
The recipe for the show should have made it work in some ways. Like, if I were to extreme show makeover edition,
yeah,
I would whittle the cast down to maybe four or five
personalities. And on each team, you basically got to have one throat to choke. Sorry, to use a turn of phrase. Like, we can't have three designers who are all responsible for it collectively. We need to have a design lead who takes what you all decided together and, you know, delegates from there. And a carpentry lead and a, you know, landscaping lead, whatever.
Yeah.
But I can't keep track of this many people.
Well, but they all need to report to a creative director, I would say, too. So, because you don't want your like yard to look like it doesn't belong to the house.
Right. Exactly.
Move that bus. That's perfect. Keep it as
that's iconic. Yeah, for sure.
And when they chant USA. So did they do that in your episode?
I didn't see this one. No,
maybe it was just because this guy was a veteran.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, yeah, that rules. It's fun to do.
It's when it's such an American show only in America.
It had the shadow of 9/11 looming large
for
on it.
Sure. For sure.
Ty
it was
Pennington.
Like, that was, I think, when we were truly gluttonous as a country. Like, we were like,
oh, yeah.
The lifestyle of the Bush era family was very, like, disposables for everything.
You know, though, I would say that you and I think the upwardly mobile have moved out of that mindset.
Yeah.
The young, let me just say this, Temu, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of functionally disposable stuff.
I mean, I feel like actually our
quality of our clothing
of it all has probably 10x'd since then.
I bet, yeah.
Yeah, because the quality of our clothing was much better at
the
time.
Like, if you were to ask me
but
to
like,
describe...
K-pods are, like, only the boomers could come up with, like, a Keurig pod.
Totally. Well, and if you were to ask me to describe, like, you know, the Bush era, in a few images, I'm like picturing like the biggest suburban or Tahoe mm-hmm. you can imagine.
Yeah, you can.
You know, and like, and it's
like a 40-gallon car. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's like tricked out inside.
Uh-huh.
Like leather.
Uh-huh.
And also that you can like go to Walmart.
Can you imagine how crazy that era would have gone if we had Klarna?
Oh my God. Thank God we didn't.
No, I know.
Oh my gosh. Like, it was nuts. People
would
be
having, like, everyone would have had a Louis V.
The excess. And I think it was also partly, I think there was, like, some explicit messaging that was, like, the best way you can help your country right now is to, like, support its economy by shopping, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were, like, afraid of everybody tightening their belts.
Here's the crazy thing. That's kind of true.
Yeah.
About the economy. It's, like, half expectation.
Totally.
You know, like, if everyone decides they're going to halt spending,
yeah.
that halts jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, you basically kind of have to propagandize people into keeping it going. Now, where things get really crazy tricky is the insistence that, like, every company grows X percent every year. Because it's, like, there's not more people.
Yeah.
There's not more demand. It doesn't make sense, you know?
So the only way to do that is by, like, raising prices, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah. It feels very, like, fever pitchy all the time when you think about it.
Very cokey, for sure.
Yeah.
Cokey energy.
Totally.
You know what? The country.
Did I tell you that we rewatched The Big Short recently?
Yes.
Okay. I may have talked about it on this podcast, but, like, I first of all, had forgotten most of that. And, like, watching it is, like, a really good reminder of, like, how the subprime mortgage thing mm-hmm. happened. But when they show those two guys in Florida, and one of them is, God, I can't remember the actor's name, but he was on, like, Scream Queens or something. But, like, they were talking about, like, oh, yeah, like, my best customers are strippers because, like, they love to overextend their credit or whatever. And, like, it's just, like, people were, Billy Magnuson.
Yes, that's right. He was in that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyways.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, we are highly debt-based as a society.
Totally.
Which, we're so middle class, you and I, that it's, like, it's such a foxtrot with debt.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. very, very tricky. I'm not a friend of it.
No, no.
My
parents were always, like, if you get a credit card that's 0% APR, like, or if a store is offering that, then mm-hmm. sure, like, your money is more valuable in your pocket than in theirs. But
mm-hmm.
if there's APR, beware. Don't do mm-hmm. it.
For sure.
Unless you're in a desperate spot.
So what happened in your episode?
Okay, so the episode I watched was the first one, and it was the Powers family. And they had their youngest daughter had just recovered, I think, from leukemia.
Ooh.
And so basically they had bought a house and intended to fix it up. Like, they were like, this is a good starter home. But then they just kind of got sucked up in the whirlwind of their daughter's cancer. Mm-hmm. And so they, like, never got around to repairing everything and, like, fixing the house up. And so they sent the family on vacation, which I had forgotten that element mm-hmm. of it.
It's a good deal.
It's a really good deal. It was really sweet. They went to the Bahamas, and the family was like, this is so nice. Like, we don't get to take vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had, like, a teenage daughter and then, like, probably a tween son. I guess he was, like, 10 or 11. And then their, like, 4 or 5-year-old who had recovered from leukemia. And the mom was, like, they had a nice swimming pool in the back, which she was, like, really proud of. And she, this was so, bless her, she had, it was something like a live, laugh, love type mantra, but it went on for so long. It was probably, like, 25 words.
La casa.
Like, it was, escuela. It was, like, live your life, pray for your goals, do your dreams, whatever. It was, like, something kind of, like, word salad. But she had, like, hand-painted it on her walls.
That very common. That happened yes. in the kidnapper one, too.
Yes. And she was, like, you know, these were some words that got me through that struggle, which I was like, oh my God, that made me cry. And obviously the designers are like, we're not leaving that up there. So the way that they
respectfully, that's ugly as hell, mama.
So the way that they incorporated it was they built this, like, big, like, pirate ship facade thing with a slide for their pool.
Oh, sick.
And they had those words on the side of the ship, which I was like, that's really sweet.
Here's the thing about it.
Thoughtful.
Now that we're talking about it, I'm like, the spirit of, like, brotherhood and generosity of this show
yeah.
is to be celebrated, I
it
feel.
Is. I agree. And the fact that they get the neighbors so excited for them, I think that, like, is really touching.
Yeah.
But I was watching, like, one of the designer guys was, like, so, I can't remember his name. I looked up all these.
The one that was queening out.
Yes. And I looked, I clicked into all their Wikipedia pages. He apparently hosted some ABC, he was, like, a judge on some ABC show that was, like, the great, like, Christmas light showdown or something, which I was like, that's exactly where you put someone like him.
The thing about those shows is that they will garner 40 million viewers and you and I will never hear about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that shocking?
No, it is so crazy how like diffuse our media landscape is.
It's crazy.
Like most of the stuff that
I actually sort of feel like things are being hidden from me specifically at a certain point where I'm like, okay, with Long Legs, I was like, oh yeah, it's getting some buzz perhaps. And I looked it up and it was like, no, Diva, everyone saw it. It's huge. It's a huge movie.
Really? Is this so?
Yes.
See, I've hardly heard a thing about it.
Exactly.
And I felt this way too when we were at your baby shower and catching up with some old friends of ours that are neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I was asking, hey, Tara, legend, if you ever listen to this, I was like, oh, do you watch Bravo? Because she was talking about something about Andy Cohen. And she was like, yeah, you listen to his podcast. And I was like, oh, really? Are you a Bravo fan? And she was like, yeah, we watch all the Below Decks. And I was like, Below Deck?
I have a friend who's like dedicated to the Below Deck universe.
Because see, like me and all my friends are into Real Housewives.
And Vanderpump.
And then actually, Rachel and Ingrid are really into Summer House and Winter House, mm-hmm. which they're making a very compelling argument for me getting into.
I tried it.
You couldn't get into it?
Maybe I just need to sort of put my nose to the grindstone a little bit more on it.
Yeah. It's really time to buckle down.
It's time to be serious. Well, the thing with the ones that have like millennial cast members is that I have to sort of... It feels like too much of a known quantity for me to be interested in it.
So, right.
But I got there with Vanderpump.
Totally.
But I think the nostalgia of Vanderpump helped because it started in
2009,
like 2011, something like that.
Man.
And it was like, wow, hideous. I remember being purr too.
Do you think it's over?
Yeah.
Because apparently they would have been supposed to be filming right now.
I think you must have seen the same TikTok with the HRH. Guys, this is not good.
This is not good. And I'm a bit concerned that we're going to be seeing Sheena and Lala joining the cast of The Valley. I mean,
y'all
grab onto a life raft, do your thing.
Kristen Doty at least seems to be under the impression that they are not invited.
Mm.
But that might be wishful thinking on Doty's part.
If she doesn't think that they would throw her off the cast and invite Lala and Sheena in a heartbeat.
Got to be so damn lonely to be Kristen Doty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because first of all, you're DeLulu and no one is throwing you a lifeline to help you figure out that you're the problem. But also,
you're carrying this show on your back.
Half the time, she's not the problem.
Right.
You know?
Right.
She's such an easy target. And actually, now that I'm saying this, my heart is filled with love and compassion.
For Kristen Doty. Yeah. No, truly, there is a certain vulnerability that it takes to show yourself on TV being such a dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, and very, like, and unself-consciously.
Aging so normally.
Yeah.
But that is so hard for us to see
in
that universe.
Compared to her castmates, you know?
Right.
Like, it was so interesting to me towards the end of the season when, who's the girl that was married to Jesse? Michelle. When Michelle and Janet were talking about their nose jobs respectively, I was like, you both have, because they both seem like such, like, I'm a naturally pretty girl. And like, you know what I mean? Like, it was so interesting for them to be like, yeah, no, I've had a nose job. And
well,
like,
all of them have.
But like, Kristen doesn't seem to have had work.
Kristen actually, like,
she's like a naturally pretty girl. She's I'm just aging.
No one gave her the note that when she does the confessions, she pulls her chin to her chest in this weird Kubrickian sort of angle.
Yeah.
And it...
You gave me that note on my wedding day. God bless you.
Did I?
Yeah. You were like, hey, when you're taking pictures, just make sure you stick your chin out.
Seriously?
Because you were like, sometimes you like, you don't realize it. And I was like, okay, thank you, girl.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, no, this was your mustache moment. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
No, and it was true.
I didn't hurt you.
No, it was like really good advice. Because like in a couple of my like candid photos, I'm going like, ah, and I'm like, ooh, I hate them. But
sure
then like in all the posed photos, I'm like,
watch this.
No, watch this. I'm going to jut my chin out. Do you know what tickles me on TikTok is when people use that stupid Chad filter on like...
Yes.
On like everything.
The locked-in filter. Yeah.
Someone did it on like a bunch of us. at a museum and they said the museum. People are so silly.
That filter makes me laugh so hard. You know what I also like is that like bodybuilder Mike something. This is boy knowledge. Craig will know the guy's name.
Craig's reposts are wild. They're okay, crazy.
I need to tell you about this too. So his reposts are bananas.
Anytime anything comes
it's
across
nothing
my
but shit posts.
Totally.
It's shit posts, one cocktail recipe, and
that's Italian.
That like, yeah. Classic one. The rest of it, crazy, insane, like Appalachian.
Yeah.
Bananas, Gen
it's
X
like,
behavior.
It's like people doing the stuff that the Jackass boys would do, but they're like...
But they're living that
tweaking.
Life. So he asked me about one of them that he thought that he reposted. Like, he was like, oh, did you see that? I reposted it. And I was like, no. And he goes, oh, I must have just saved that to Daddy's Little Freaks. That's his collection of those people. And I said, do you know that the creators can see the name of the collection that you save it to?
Oh, no.
And it didn't bother him one bit. He said, they know what they're doing.
Well, there you are. There you are.
Anyway.
That is so silly.
For a laugh, if you know my husband personally, go check out his reposts on TikTok.
They are
I was also
so
talking about
silly.
How occasionally I'll see him comment. Usually,
always funny.
Like, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah.
On, like, one of those shit posts.
Yeah.
Or when he comments coward on
yeah.
the hair system ones.
It's so silly. One thing I also wanted to say from this episode, because I'm looking down at my screen and seeing that I still had their episode pulled up. The dad had this, like, old truck that he was obsessed with, and it was, like, I think not usable, really. Or maybe it was, but just, like, kind of crummy. It had, like, flames painted on the side. And I guess his son maybe loved it, too. I don't really know, but I hope he did, because they took the truck bed and turned it into a literal bed frame that this tween boy was going to sleep in.
When you started on this, I was like, they turned into a bed.
Yeah, of course
they
did.
And I did not think you would be serious on that.
No, and, like, his curtains were, like, black and white racing flag checked. And then...
Hell yeah.
And, like, he had...
That's so relaxing.
Totally. His nightstand was, like, one of those big metal, like, storage drawers from, like, a garage. You know what I'm talking about?
Like a tool...
Yeah. Like a tool drawer. Chest of drawers.
A tool...
A tool armoire.
A tool escritoire. Whatever you boys use. It's gay for death.
Are you an escritoire? And then I love that episode.
It's so good.
Curse. But then like the little girl's room, I can't remember what they did, the design. It was like very like little girly. But like apparently she used to like when she was sick, she would like want to go to her parents' room. And so they made a tunnel from her room into her parents' bedroom. And I was like,
you're gonna make me cry on this program.
It was sweet, but I was also like, is there a way to close it?
Can you lock it?
Like, what? You know?
You've got to be able to lock
it. You've got to be able to have some privacy.
That's a really good point. But, like, what? They've got to communicate about it, too. Because if there's a door.
Yeah.
On either side. Mm-hmm. You just need to make sure, like, you're going to have to turn around.
Right. Right.
I mean, gosh, now I'm going to have to see this. How long was the tunnel?
I mean, probably, like, 3 or 4 feet.
Okay, so she could back
like,
out
when it
pretty
occurred.
Easy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, I mean, it was probably big enough
I'm
for...
I'm thinking like Buried Alive is all
No, it was probably big enough for like a 5 or 6 year old kid to like walk standing up in it.
Okay.
But it wasn't like
so
full
it was
size.
Like, what was that bookstore in the mall?
Yes, exactly. Like B. Dalton.
It was like a B. Dalton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved that effing tunnel.
Me too.
You could catch me in the B. Dalton tunnel.
I bought a book there. That I remember reading. It was probably the first time I can remember powering through a book.
Wow.
I was, I think, in 5th grade.
Grandpa used to love to take us there.
I think it was called Einstein's Refrigerator.
Okay, interesting.
And what was it about? It was like something about, oh my God, yep, there it is. And other stories from the flip side of history. Was this
faux?
What was it about?
Escritoires.
Now y'all better tell me. Vroom vroom, mama.
Beep beep, bitch. I'm outside. And then also, the other part of the truck that was not, sorry, to continue the Powers family, the part of the truck that was not in their son's bedroom was like backed up against the wall of their garage. So I guess it was supposed to look like it had like backed into their son's room or something, but they put a big TV, like one of those, but this is okay. 2004.
Wait, they made it look like the car crashed through the room.
kind. I mean, like
they love to do that.
It was just kind of like it was as if like
they love to be narrative with it.
Yes, yeah. But they had like a big TV across from it, so you could treat that like a drive-in or something, which is kind of fun. But then it's like you gotta get rid of the windshield to be able to like see the TV well.
Oh yeah,
or like hear it, you know. But then also in the living room, they were like, yeah, and we got you guys this new living room, and the TV was like a Michael Scott TV, and I was like, I guess now I need to go watch like an episode per year to see
how big the TVs how get.
We started to get, you know what I mean, to see this the scope is... creep on American ooh, living room ooh, TVs
ooh. Let me ask the robot something.
Yeah,
okay, hold on.
Okay, average size.
That's okay. Exactly what I'm going for. Exactly, mama. Can you give me the average size television in the U.S.
sold? Per year.
Average size television sold.
Per year since 2004.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this I have to see.
Right. I'm so excited.
Because, like, I went off to college in 2004, and I actually took with me two TVs that were, like, the tube TVs.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
thick ones.
I think I actually kept one of yours because it was small enough to fit on the wardrobe.
On the escritoire.
On the escritoire.
No, sorry, the armoire. Yeah. In our dorm rooms.
Okay. No. Break it down by year, please.
Okay. But, yeah, it really tickled me because I think they were so proud of it. They were like, and look, it's like this teeny weeny little rectangle on the...
Okay, I have a chart.
Okay.
Okay, so it goes from 97 to 2017.
Okay, what was it in 2004?
2004, it was average, it looks like maybe 27, 28 inches. And...
Yeah, that's not very big.
Well, you do it the diagonal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But see, that wouldn't have probably been a flat screen either.
No, and it was 47 inches by 2017.
Okay.
Okay, and then you can also see LCD TV average size. Okay, it actually has it broken out here. I'm not guessing. I was right, 28. And then by 2022, it went up to 50. So it's almost doubled.
Yeah, I believe that.
Okay, actually, show me the same data, but price as compared... Price compared to...
Ooh, she's writing Freakonomics 3.
relative income.
Oh, yeah, that's smart. Yeah, because it's funny to me, like, Parker or Dad or Craig will be like, well, you know, TVs are so cheap these days. And I'm like, are they? Like, $600 for a big TV seems like a lot of money, but it's like,
no, this
for
is, how big it this is. This is the information I want. The price per square inch of screen in 2004 was $2.15.
Okay.
As of 2019, it was 39 cents.
Wow. Damn.
I love the robots.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. I told Lindsay this. Okay, first of all, love the robots. Ready to welcome AI. God love you. But the other thing I'm ready for, we talked about this before the mic started, is right now we are in that really tricky spot where the devices are ruining my ability to focus on anything. I will open a tab, forget what it was for.
Yeah.
40, 50 times a day.
You bet.
Because we have the technology, but our brains haven't caught up. And I don't think our brains will catch up. I think the technology will meet us further, closer to us.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking forward to is tuning in, turning off, and dropping out. you can put the chip in my brain. I want, as soon as I think of something, show me it.
Yeah.
So that I don't lose it in the 3 seconds between my brain and my thumb.
Definitely.
Very sad, this, making it harder and harder to sit down and read a book, this.
But also, your brain does move through a lot of things very quickly.
Too much, I would say. And this is why I'm going to stop listening to podcasts, not this one, and listen to 1950s music instead.
That's a great idea.
I think it's going to fix everything.
Yeah, I think it might. Shall we close this with any final thoughts about Extreme Makeover Home Edition?
I think we were at our best.
Yeah.
I think that this was actually really kind television.
Yeah.
It's
actually funny, too, like, watching people argue in a professional environment on TV, like, in a not in a self-producing kind of way.
Yeah.
Like, they're
reality TV used to have that snap to it.
Yeah.
Because people didn't have the awareness of how they would seem.
Yeah, totally.
At some point, we're going to have to watch the exact opposite of this, which is this one.
Yeah, I look forward to that as well. Mm-hmm. That one's dark.
Dark.
That's
energy.
That was from our
shadow side.
That was from our subconscious, like the dark parts of our subconscious.
So there's a lot of ugly women, and we're here to fix it.
Yeah, pretty much. I was actually, you know, I told Parker the other night. I remember an episode. It was either, I think it was just regular Extreme Makeover, where there was a guy. I think about this probably twice a year. I hope this guy's okay.
Of Extreme Makeover, mm-hmm. Home Edition, or
regular?
Regular.
This okay. man had been falsely imprisoned. Not falsely. Like, he was wrongly convicted. I'll okay. say. Of, like, I think it was of a murder, and was, like, on death row for, like, 20 years, and then was exonerated when DNA evidence became available. Mm-hmm. But the thing that had convinced the jury that it was him was that the perpetrator had left an apple that they had been eating on the ground near the crime scene, and they had a snaggletooth, and this poor man had a snaggletooth, and so he was, like, my teeth were... You know, something I was self-conscious of anyway, but then they, like, caused me to be sent to prison.
To lose, like, a quarter of my life.
Yes. But he, like, had a good attitude, if I recall correctly.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
But did he get a payout from that?
I think he did. I think when you're
falsely in prison for
I think
that
you
long,
do get
typically,
paid.
Sorry, I do love America for that reason.
Yeah.
It's because things can be made right in a court of law.
Yeah.
Things can be made wrong, but, yeah. like... Yeah, because I heard I was listening to a Mr. Ballin about this, where a guy was sent to prison, I think for kidnapping or something. And literally, it was because he had, it was either like a secret brother, maybe a secret twin or something. And the guy was raised separate from him and had a similar name. And so in the lineup, the guy was like, I literally wasn't in the state when that happened, but they were like, there's just no denying it. Like, we have footage. This is what you look. He served a lot of time, and he met his doppelganger in prison.
Oh,
the
my
guy
God.
Got convicted for something else. And he was like, hold on. And then he appealed, had it overturned, and left.
Oh,
and
my
I think
God.
I think he got a few million dollars from that, but it's like, God, that's the least you can do.
Okay, yeah, well, I just looked it up. This is a good ending for this guy. He received in 2005 a $1.4 million settlement from Maricopa County and $3 million from the city of Phoenix.
Good.
He was labeled the Snaggletooth Killer.
Those West Arkansas dudes, they never got money.
Yeah.
Because they had an Alford plea. They were never found innocent.
God, it was so sad.
I know.
The episode was called Once Bitten.
You guys are so... Tigard is on Serious.
Oh, sorry. That was Forensic Files.
Okay.
My bad.
That seems
He was
more
on
right.
Extreme Makeover. They called it... it was just episodes 13 and 14 of season 3. But then his story is detailed in Jingle Jangle, The Perfect Crime Turned Inside Out, written by Jim Ricks, his cousin, who was instrumental in getting him freed from prison. They
Not
didn't
Jingle
say whether
Jangle.
That's... Is that a podcast or a TV show? Hmm. I'll never know. Anyways, yeah. So... An interesting program, this.
Yeah, definitely, it's worth a
definitely
shot.
ABC coded.
Oh, certainly, but it's not the worst. Could
you know,
CBS?
they have a lane, ABC.
America, Heartland.
Heartwarming American stories.
Uh huh.
You know,
I know that's right.
Yeah,
I know that's right.
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, next week we'll be back with a full month of Star Magazine. I could not be happier about this.
Mm-hmm. It's about to be so tacky.
I'll take that one.
Yeah.
Because you did the magazine last time.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it. I'll send you home with it tonight.
Fantastic.
All right, gang. Y'all have a great week.
Bye.